We've had some pretty serious droughts in Utah in our short period of settlement, but while trying to tame the desert and make it blossom, we've been extremely resourceful. We've built dams and dug canals and pumped groundwater, and so far, we haven't run out of water, knock on wood. A recent trend in water resource management is to look past what we remember and try to plan for the future based on trends from a much longer time period. I'm Matt Jensen, and you're listening to 5 Billion Gallons. Today on the program, Jennifer Pemberton tells us what we can learn from trees that could help us prepare for a changing climate and an uncertain water future.
Stream gauges measure water flows throughout the state and leave a record that goes back to up to 100 years. With high and low flows plotted out on a chart, it's easy to pick out the biggest droughts of this modern timescale and try to plan for what we've known to be the worst. But advances in understanding of tree ring data means that scientists now can see the cycles of wet and dry in a stream system for up to 1,000 years. Jeff Lucas is from Western Water Assessment based in Colorado. His group, along with other tree ring researchers from the region, have invited water managers to a workshop at the University of Utah to learn about the application of tree ring reconstructions for the Wasatch Front.
What tree rings give us is a much longer window onto the past. And the way I like to think of it is the tree ring record is where unprecedented events get their shirts taken off.
In the tree ring record, we can see prehistoric droughts that dwarf the ones of recent memory. They've lasted longer and they've been more intense. Like Lucas says, you don't know what unprecedented looks like until you've looked back 1,000 years. In Arizona, tree ring reconstructions have already been used in planning reservoir water allocation in the Phoenix metro area. Charlie Esther is the water resource operations manager for the Salt River Project, which supplies water to 3 million people.
For almost 100 years, we were using this drought that occurred from 1898 to 1904, and that was what we called our drought of record. And it worked pretty well for a long, long time.
They planned for the worst-case scenario of that 7-year drought at the turn of the century. Then they realized they might already be in the middle of something bigger than what they thought was their historic benchmark.
In this current drought, going on 18 years now, clearly there is something very different. Maybe that 7-year drought of record really isn't what we should be planning for, and it could be something much more severe.
After the tree ring analysis, they looked at planning for a mega drought like the one in 1575 that lasted for 11 years. They ran a model using their existing reservoir capacity guidelines.
This was really shocking to us. We ended up drying up the reservoir system in year 10. That's clearly not the way you're going to be serving water to 3 million people.
Esther and the Salt River Project team kept running the models with more and more conservative numbers. Being conservative with the water supply means finding water from somewhere else when you've dipped too deep into your reservoirs, which in the Phoenix area means pumping your groundwater. And groundwater is not a renewable resource, at least not with the current climate projections, which has the Southwest getting hotter and drier. So, of course, someone in the audience has to ask, what if you run out of groundwater?
I believe I once learned in some kind of biology class that you either adapt, move, or die.
The Salt River Project is a good example of how to plan reservoir releases in a changing climate regime, but only 2 counties in Utah depend on reservoirs for water. All the rest depend on the slow release of snow from the mountains that recharges groundwater. It goes without saying that Salt Lake City is very different from Phoenix. Instead of relying on long desert rivers transporting water across state lines, Utah's largest city utilizes surface water that comes from the canyons directly adjacent to the city. Currently, the city doesn't really have a water problem, but according to Laura Briefer, the water resources manager for Salt Lake City's Department of Public Utilities, the city is looking ahead and forging strong partnerships with researchers from Western Water Assessment, Utah State University, NOAA's Colorado Basin Forecast Center, and the Laboratory of Tree Ring Research at the University of Arizona.
We'd like to take a proactive approach. So we understand that we have challenges coming to us. We've been living in a wet time period. The settlement of this valley has really been based on the proximity to those water resources. We can't really rely on that time period as being an indicator of the future.
Salt Lake Public Utilities is either desperate or really open-minded. Briefer keeps saying things like, we want to, we plan to, we're looking into. It's encouraging, really. It makes the tree ring and climate researchers' day when a water manager says, yeah, I think we can use this to solve a problem. The new knowledge we've gotten from looking at the tree ring record like this is a powerful tool in resource planning. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation recently awarded a grant to USU and BYU researchers to study and predict climate and water change in the northern Utah and Colorado Basin areas. One of those researchers, Simon Wong of the Utah Climate Center, says that the mega droughts of the past millennium, as seen through the eyes of trees, should persuade us that the severe water shortages of the distant past could very well reappear. For 5 Billion Gallons, I'm Jennifer Pemberton.
5 Billion Gallons is a production of Utah Public Radio, supported by Penn State Public Media's Think Outside the Pipes radio initiative. We're part of Water Blue's Green Solutions, a documentary film coming to public TV airwaves in January of 2014. Thanks for listening.